Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during June. Stargazers, as a rule, crave darkness. Nothing gets our juices flowing like a wide-open canopy of stars set like diamonds on black velvet. But for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, June offers the shortest nights of the year. It's just not fair. Here in Boston, it's often too cold to head outside in December, when nighttime is longest. Then I get shortchanged 6 months later when I can view the sky more comfortably. This month's solstice occurs on the 21st at 1:04 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Astronomically speaking, that's when summer begins in the Northern Hemisphere and winter in the Southern Hemisphere. And as far as I'm concerned, it's all downhill from there. Okay, rant's over. Let's talk about the month's sky sights. June begins with moon-free evening skies. New moon comes on the 8th and full moon on the 23rd. Algonquin tribes called this the full strawberry moon to mark the peak season for harvesting those sweet delights, but Europeans knew it as the rose moon. In early June, the sun sets around 8 o'clock, and if you've got a clear view toward the western horizon, you'll see something of a planetary traffic jam just above the sunset point. Jupiter is spending its very last days in the evening sky, but Venus is rising to take its place, and Mercury is making its best evening appearance of the year. So start by looking about 30 minutes after sunset. Venus will be the easiest to spot because it shines far brighter than any nighttime star. On June 1st, look to its upper left for Mercury and to its lower right for Jupiter, both of which will be much dimmer. Over the next few days, Jupiter sinks out of sight. It'll return to view a few weeks from now on the other side of the sun, in the morning sky before sunrise. Mercury, meanwhile, gets a bit higher and brighter each night. The best nights to look for it are June 6th and 7th. After that, it reverses course and slides farther toward the lower right and deeper into the twilight glow. Technically, Mercury appears farthest from the sun, what astronomers call greatest elongation, on June 12th. But by then, due to celestial geometry, the innermost planet is already past its brightness peak. A little higher up are the twins of Gemini, the stars Pollux and slightly dimmer Castor. Well to the right of all this action, low in the northwest, is the bright star Capella. Meanwhile, there's another bright planet in the sky, and that's Saturn. To find it, face the direction of sunset and then make a generous left turn to face south. You'll see two bright stars about halfway up. They're separated by about the width of your fist on your outstretched arm. The brighter one, on the left, is Saturn. On the right is Spica, the alpha star in the constellation Virgo, the Maiden. It's about 260 light-years away, and it shines brightly because it pumps out 12,000 times more energy than our sun does. Most everyone calls this star Spica, but I'm being true to its Latin roots, which means ear of grain. In fact, depictions of Virgo often show her holding some wheat stalks. Although Saturn is high up and easy to spot as evening begins, technically it's a little past its prime. Back on April 28th, Saturn was at opposition, opposite the sun in the sky, and closest to Earth. It's lost about a third of its apparent brightness since then, but it still looks great. Now, you might know that the sun and major planets travel around the sky through a sequence of 12 constellations called the zodiac. Virgo is one of them, and to its right is another obvious member, Leo the Lion. Leo's brightest star is Regulus, and it's about 5 fists to the right of Spica. Regulus is Latin for little king or prince. It appears slightly dimmer than Spica, despite the fact that it's only one-third as far away. That's because Spica is intrinsically a much brighter star. Let's track down one of the less obvious zodiacal constellations. Saturn is about halfway between Spica to its right and a somewhat fainter star to its left. That's Zubaneh Shamali in the constellation Libra, representing a scale or balance for measuring weights. About 1 fist to its lower right is the star Zubanel Ganubi. These names are fun to say, and they have interesting meanings in Arabic. Zubaneh Shamali means the northern claw, and Zubanel Ganubi, the southern claw. A balance doesn't have claws, of course, but a scorpion does. And to their lower left is the constellation of Scorpius. Ancient Babylonians considered these two stars to mark the front end of the celestial scorpion, and even though they're now officially in Libra, their names stuck. If the sky is clear and your light pollution isn't too bad, you can see that Zubaneh Shamali and Zubaneh Ganubi form the upper right side of a kite-shaped quartet of stars. That's Libra, or most of it anyway. Here's one more star to check out. Crane your neck and look straight up to spot Arcturus, the fourth brightest star in the nighttime sky. Can you detect a bit of ginger ale tinge in its light? Arcturus is a red giant star, a swollen orb that's more than 25 times the sun's diameter and 200 times its total brightness. It's fairly close by as stars go, only 37 light years away. Next month, I'll show you how to track down all of the Scorpion in the sky, or how to stay clear of it, depending on your point of view. Until then, I wish you clear skies.